Black Shields, The False War by Josh Reynolds. Performed by Gareth Armstrong, John Banks, Tim Bentinck, Steve Conlin, Matthew Hunt, and Toby Longworth. In the shadows of a prison forge of Tisiphone Shaol, the recycled air throbbed with the sound of industry. The thunderous clangor was as the sweetest music to Gilim Raijan's auditory receptors, stifling the distant roar of ground-to-orbit continental ordnance silos. The Archmagos Procurator and Prime Arbiter of Xana's ruling Bodian Consistory stood waiting impatiently beneath the half-kilometer-high walls of the Great Prison Forge, which splayed itself across the lunar surface of Xana Tisiphone. Around him, his retinue of Magos, Servitors, and Lex Mechanics busied themselves with the preparations for the imminent, if somewhat delayed, arrival of the War Master's emissary.
He is late.
The hulking Archmagos was a nightmare of tangled cables and several interlinked motive systems. The full extent of his monstrous serpentine form was hidden beneath oil-stained robes of Martian crimson. Dozens of mechanical limbs encompassing a variety of shapes and functions twitched, a sure sign of the agitation Raijan felt.
Unacceptable.
And unavoidable given the circumstances, as I'm sure you will agree, my friend.
Raijan looked down at the strange atavistic figure standing beside him. Unvakar Noon claimed to be a Davanite priest, as well as an emissary of Warmaster Horus. Clad in cast-off military garb beneath heavy furs, bedecked with feathers and spiral-etched bones, Noon made for an incongruous element in Raijan's world of precision. As such, the Archmagos had detested him on sight.
We are not friends,
Ashay. But perhaps we shall become so. The future stretches before us, Archmagos. A tangled thicket of possibilities, each as viable as the next.
No. Viability and validity are easily predictable to within a few percentiles. Therefore, possibilities are not equal. They only appear so to the ignorant.
Perhaps you're right. What then would you say is the possibility that the enemy will breach your system defenses and lay siege to the Forge World? Or even this artificial moon of yours.
Around them, Lex Mechanics murmured in binaric, delivering instantaneous updates regarding the conflict taking place far above them. Even now, Loyalist and Mechanicum ships hurtle towards one another across vast fields of infinity. No fewer than 5 capital-class vessels, including a Gloriana-class battleship flying the colors of Terra, were in the process of engaging the Xanite defense fleet. Their target? Xana's production facilities. Torpedoes split the black trailing fire, a secondary munitions rose from the surface of the penitentiary colony to meet them, and beam lances wove delicate traceries of annihilating light. Stars which were not stars flickered in the sky as Xana's fist of iron closed around the invading fleet, or so the tactical projections claimed.
The chances of a successful planetary assault are too small to accurately measure.
Is that why you turned away Dawn's emissary with the flea in his ear, then?
Raijan looked down at him. Noon's form blurred and twisted slightly, as if there were 2 shapes sharing the same space. Something about the Davanite confused Raijan's senses, and he was forced to recalibrate his optical systems to compensate. Another reason to dislike the filthy creature.
No insult was given. Negotiations with the Praetorian of Terra have simply entered a new phase.
Negotiation sounds an awful lot like treachery to me. Then I am a humble priest, and you... well, you are you. Still, your confidence does you credit, Archmagos. To conduct negotiations, as you call them, under the very guns of the enemy...
He winced slightly as another volley of interceptor torpedoes rose from distant silos on columns of incandescent fire. The sound of their ascent shook the very air. Raijan watched them rise in their hundreds, pleased at the constant rate of fire.
Not confidence, calculation. The calculus of battle is the simplest calculus of all. The most primitive combat servitor can perform that function within acceptable parameters. The enemy fleet is contained within the outer system. It is...
Dawn's judgment. you've denied Terra its due. And thus Terra has come to take what it is owed.
They are owed nothing. We owe them nothing.
They appear to disagree.
Irrelevant. The composition of the enemy fleet indicates a raid in force, not an invasion. They lack the strength to endanger our control of the system. This is an act of petulance, nothing more.
Ryjan's optic sensors spun, clicking through settings as he took a closer look at the Davanite.
The Vodian Consistory is supreme, Shaman. This system is our citadel. Within it, there is no law save that which we choose. You would do well to remember that.
And I would advise that you not let Commander Caradon hear you boast so. I understand that his temperament is considered quite choleric, even amongst the most barbarous of the Warmaster's followers.
Is it true, then? He has sent a Chthonian savage to negotiate on his behalf?
The decision to ally themselves with the Warmaster had been an easy one for the Vodian Consistory. Where Dawn and Terra had demanded their fealty, Horus had presented them with a treaty of alliance, as he had offered to Xana's rivals, including Sarum and Cyclothraethi, a pact whose accords the Vodian Consistory found entirely to their liking. Gone would be the petty edicts of tremulous minds, and gone would be the stifling dogma of the Omnissiah. In their place, freedom. The freedom to experiment, to build. Their only limit, the galaxy's edge. In return, Xana would provide billions of tons of arms and armor, a pittance at the price. But the thought of having to deal with some blood-stained butcher brought a rare moment of hesitation.
Oh, yes. Raxal Caradon is an incomparable savage, a black-souled reaver, raised to captaincy on the merit of his brutal endeavors. They say that his armor is still stained with the blood he spilled at Isfahan III. The blood of his own brothers.
We had hoped that he might send someone of a more convivial disposition to complete the exchange.
Oh, he is a monster, to be sure. Then so are you, Archmage's Procurator. And that is why the Warmaster comes to you, in the spirit of friendship. He collects monsters, you see.
Irrelevant. Negotiations have not yet been completed. Calculations are ongoing. The Warmaster has collected nothing, will collect nothing, save at our discretion. This is simply an exchange of gifts, a sign of good faith.
The gifts in question sat waiting for their moment behind the vast black vaulted gates of the prison forge. Ordinatus Ullator, a trio of the most powerful mobile weapon platforms that Xana's Forge laboratories had ever produced. City breakers, world shakers. Each was composed of a devastating sonic destructor mounted on an immense tracked reactor unit and protected by an oscillating power field capable of carrying the engine through the most hellish terrain. Highly mobile, heavily shielded, Titan killers armed with weapons of such destructive potential that the very hint of their presence would cause a sane foe to capitulate.
They are impressive, I will admit. Then the Warmaster has made a gift of his own, hasn't he? The wreckage of Isfahan, of Momed and Autosarat. A charnel feast of technology and gene craft, culled from a thousand battlefields. How does it feel to be a carrion crow? Archmagus.
What you call carrion, we call raw materials.
And what raw materials they were. The fallen of a dozen legions, as well as the husks of their sundered war machines, stripped from fields of victory by order of a Warmaster. The legacy of the dead, delivered to the lords of Xana.
Call it what you like. It is what it is.
It is as it should be. Such techno-arcana is wasted on lesser minds.
Like Kelbor Hal, you mean? Tell me, Ryjan, are these fine weapons of yours offered only in the spirit of friendship, or as a way to tweak the dendrites of our great Fabricator General? Does the Vodian Consistory perhaps seek to usurp Marzi's place in the world to come?
We are above such pettiness. It is for the War Master to judge such things, if he will. We are content in ourselves.
Of course. Of course. Forgive me my presumption, my friend.
There is no need. Your ignorance is excuse enough. And we are not friends. Out of curiosity, has the Fabricator General offered such gifts to the War Master?
Of course not. What few such weapons he and his satraps possess, he keeps firmly under his control.
Kelbor was always short-sighted. We of Zarna have no reservations about supplying our mightiest weapons to our allies.
I'm sure Caradhan will be pleased to hear that. Speak of the devil, and he shall appear.
Ryjan had been aware of the approaching assault landers since the moment they'd breached the penitentiary moon's artificial atmosphere. Caradhan's warship, Cicatrice Tyrannis, had been allowed into close orbit in order to shelter it from the Forge World's planetary interceptor batteries. That it would be able to witness the full grandeur of the impending void battle from its position was a beneficial coincidence. How better to remind the servants of the War Master of the might of those whose allegiance they courted? The roar of the lunar interceptor batteries, as they continued to fire, muffled the clamor of the descending assault landers. Dust billowed, washing back over Ryjan and his retinue. A moment later, disembarkation ramps were thudding to the ground, and the emissary of the uncrowned king descended in all his barbaric splendor.
He is larger than I expected.
Yes.
Raxal Caradhan was massive, even by the standards of the transhuman warrior class, taller and more heavily built than any of the warriors who accompanied him. His every movement spoke as to a barely controlled wrath. The optic lenses of his war helm were like shards of black glass as they slid over Ryjan and his retinue, evaluating and seemingly dismissing them in the same moment. His power claw clenched and relaxed, as if he yearned to put it to use. Hiding his annoyance, Ryjan swept forward.
I bid you welcome, in the name of the Vodian Consistory and tripartite forge veins of Tephra, Escorial...
This system is still under attack. We were assured that the situation would be under control before we arrived.
Ryjan undulated nervously. The few organic components he possessed shivered at the sheer unadulterated menace in those words.
We are well aware. And all necessary precautions have been taken, I assure you.
What of the weapons and armor you promised the War Master? I would be away from here as soon as possible.
The cargo vessels are approaching Zarna Tisiphone now. As you might expect, this raid has put us behind schedule somewhat.
And what of the carrion you requested in return?
Ryjan uncoiled to his full height, head and shoulders above the towering space marine. When in doubt, take the high ground, an old Martian proverb.
The War Master's gift will be landed between barrages, split amongst the forge veins. They will remain sealed until the contents are released by code key transfer upon formal completion of these accords, as you insisted.
Good. Where are these other weapons you promised us? I wish to inspect them.
Ryjan glanced at Noon, who was studying Caradhan intently. The Davanite priest was silent, which was worrisome. When Noon realized he was being observed, he shrugged and nodded. They could begin.
Come, come. We have arranged a demonstration of the Ordinatus's capabilities.
We require no demonstration.
And yet, one will be provided.
Ryjan was stung by the brute's curt dismissal of his efforts. He had labored mightily to ensure the demonstration was both an efficient test of the Ordinatus's capabilities, as well as an effective display of the Vodian Consistory's power.
It is a poor friend who does not inspect his gift. Is the War Master so desperate for munitions that he will grasp any weapon offered him without first seeing proof of its power?
Caradhan stared at him. Ryjan drew back as his sensors registered a spike in the hulking space marine's adrenaline, such as might precede an attack. But Caradhan did not so much as twitch. Instead, he nodded.
Very well. Let us be quick about it. I have no liking for being on the ground when battle is happening just above my head.
The warrior who called himself Raxal Karatan waited impatiently as the full complement of his honor guard finished disembarking. Two massive mastodon carriers rumbled down from the bellies of the assault landers to join the coterie of tech marines and legionaries already assembling at the base of the disembarkation ramps. The latter were to be escorted to the waiting Ordinatus engines, where they would observe their operations firsthand. Karatan and his closest subordinates were to watch the prepared demonstration from within the armored observation cupola of the Mechanicum landcrawler, now making its way towards them.
This is a waste of time, Endred.
The words crackled in his ear from the scrambled vox link that connected him to his honor guard. He glanced at the squat shape of the tech marine standing next to him.
Yes, but unless you see another option, Erud, we have little choice. And call me Raxal. You never know who might be listening, and we wouldn't want to give the game away now, would we?
No fear of that. I encrypted this channel myself. Besides, they're probably already suspicious. You should have taken that snake's skull. The real Raxal Karatan would have killed this Rai Jan where he undulated for such insults.
Perhaps.
The former World Eater shifted his weight, uncomfortable in his borrowed skin. Ceramite that had been bare for months was now daubed over in verdigris, and foreign heraldry decorated battle plate now cluttered with Chthonian totems and charms.
Luckily for the Archmagos Procurator, the real Karatan is floating in a cloud of his own blood out in the void somewhere on the Spinward edge of the system. And the prizes he came to claim will belong to us.
If all goes well.
Like his commander, Erud Vaan was an orphan, albeit from the 14th Legion rather than the 12th, despite the heraldry he wore. Vaan had once been counted amongst the foremost forged tyrants of his Legion.
I still say this is a mistake. The moment our sensors registered the presence of the Loyalist fleet, we should have tucked tail and run. There's nothing to be gained by getting caught between the grain and the scythe.
There is everything to be gained. We already have one of the enemy's finest warships. Now we will snatch these Ordinatus weapons from him as well.
And all for the price of how many dead brothers?
Acceptable losses.
And what of those who rest in those cursed cargo pods? Our dead deserved better than that, Endred.
It must be done. And it shall be done.
Vaan turned away, shaking his head. He was surprisingly soft-hearted for one of his legion. Though he would not admit it, Vaan still believed the lies their gene fathers had told them. He still held tight to the ideas of brotherhood, of loyalty to one's comrades, whatever his feelings for the greater Imperium. Vaan fought simply to defend the warrior who stood at his side. There was a purity in that, as if he had shed all existential worry. Ha envied him that. He idly examined the symbols of his newly acquired rank. It felt wrong even now to indulge in such falsehood, as if repainting his battle plate and pretending to be another man was a greater crime than any he had yet committed, or would commit in days to come. For every world that burned on the Imperium's pyre, innumerable small wars were waged between fragmented hosts. Ha led one such host. A ragtag assemblage culled from the detritus of treachery, owing fealty to no lord save the one they called the Rivenhound. A fealty Ha enforced with an iron claw. The blood of loyalists and traitors alike stained his hands, and oceans more would be spilled before he was satisfied. In quiet moments, he wondered if that were even possible. There was a hole in him, an aching wound in whatever passed for his soul. And it seemed no amount of death, save one, might fill it. Only one death. Not that of his faithless Primarch, for Angron was no more in control of his destiny than Ha was, and never had been. No, the only death that would soothe his spirit was that of the War Master himself. For Endred Ha to find peace, the cause of his agony must die. Whatever the cost to himself or those who followed him, the Rivenhound would hunt his prey across the uncounted stars and end his mad dream in blood.
So I swore, and so I will do. It must be done, and it shall be done.
The words were an oath born in a moment of madness, the echoes of which still haunted him. A madness that had carried him through the wreckage of 100 systems, gathering weapons as he went. Vaan was one such weapon, as were his brothers. But there were others, weapons darker than any warrior ought to wield.
How else does one wage a shadow war, save with shadow weapons?
Unbidden, his thoughts turned once more to the charnel cargo they'd handed over to the Zanite Mechanicum, and the things he'd ordered done to them beforehand. Abominable things, monstrous things which had left the bitter remnants of his soul shrieking in the dark, with only the dead for company. Firmly pushing the thought aside, he turned his attentions to his companions as they waited to board the approaching landcrawler. Besides Vaan, there was Rome Gale, clad in scavenged Mark IV battleplate. His heraldry was that of one of the muster drivers used by the Sons of Horus to oversee their indentured mortal soldiery. Behind Gale came legionaries Hirth and Circa, both of them in repainted armor and false heraldry. Like Vaan and Gale, they were former sons of the 14th, though they seemed to carry a heavier measure of bitterness than Vaan. Understandable in both cases. He'd been forced to discipline both at one time or another, though in different ways. Neither bore him any love as a result. He did not wonder why they'd volunteered to accompany him. The answer was obvious. Once, such a thing would never have occurred to him, but times had changed. It was another chink in the armor of discipline, another sign of what was to come, unless he could prevent it. Unless he could find them a steadier path to walk. Trying to distract himself, he studied Erard's heavily modified Mark III battleplate.
Your insignia is incorrect. You might as well not have bothered repainting your armor if you were just going to get it wrong.
It's correct, I assure you.
Yes, if you were part of a mechanized assault detachment, which you are not, you are supposed to be a forge master of the 16th.
Perhaps I am both.
Now is not the time for jokes.
I respectfully disagree. The old discipline has served us badly. Let us replace it with something more pleasant. Laugh today, for tomorrow you may die, as the White Scars say.
Pray then that our hosts are as ignorant as you of the heraldry of the War Master's Legion, or we might find that tomorrow has come sooner than we expected.
Ha! Does the Rivenhound fear these Zanites, then?
I fear nothing, Rome. But you would do well to learn when to keep your mouth shut, especially when no one was speaking to you.
Har resisted the urge to glare at the other Space Marine.
Oh, my apologies, Warhound.
Do not call me that! I am no Warhound, no Eater of Worlds!
With some effort, Har forced down the desire to remove Gale's head from his shoulders. While normally he did not hesitate to strike down any who defied him, now was not the time or place. They could not afford to make their hosts nervous.
Agreed. For the moment, you are Raxel Coradin, and we are your honor guard. What we will become after depends entirely on how this farce proceeds.
Vaan spoke calmly, trying to head off his commander's anger. In the time he had known him, Har had never heard Vaan so much as raise his voice. He suspected that Vaan's time amongst the tech adepts of Mars had something to do with that, though he'd never bothered to ask.
And what if the Terran fleet reaches the inner system? What then?
Our hosts say they are contained.
Yes, but for how long? When it comes to it, will we fight them as well?
Pray it does not come to that.
Pray? Haven't you heard, Endrid? The gods are dead, and soon enough, we will all join them. Perhaps it does not matter, in the end, whose blood wets our blades. Every hand is turned against us, for we are twice downed, and twice forsaken.
Enough! We know who the enemy is. That is all that matters.
And I'm sure if we forget, you will swiftly remind us. As you have done so often of late. Though your reminders tended to be quite pointed.
Isn't that right, Hirth? How's that augmetic hand, by the way?
It doesn't work right.
The hand in question twitched, sparks slipping from between the joints like blood. Hearth was another voice of dissent, though he had been punished for this once already. Another like Gale. Like Circa, who walked in dour silence behind him, tapping out a doleful hymn on the haft of his thunderhammer.
I'll look at your hand later, Hearth. We have a more pressing problem at the moment. The Davinite keeps looking at us. There's something odd about him.
Oh, you don't say! Something odd about the feather-bedecked savage! I have never heard the like.
Quiet! Erud, do you think he suspects?
Har glanced at the Davinite, where he stood next to Rijan, awaiting the arrival of the Landcrawler. The presence of the Shaman was an unexpected wrinkle in a plan already contorted grossly out of shape. If their deception were revealed, they would have to strike swiftly and surely, or risk waging a war on two fronts.
It's impossible to say. If he does, he's keeping it to himself. Rijan doesn't like him that much, is certain.
I don't like him, and I've only just met him. Say the word, Erud, and I'll separate his head from his scrawny shoulders.
Restrain yourself, and remember who is in command.
Once, such a reminder would have been unnecessary. Now it was simply another sign that whatever little discipline remained to his forces was beginning to fray. Factionalism was rife as the weight of old loyalties and new sins dragged them all down. They had been soldiers once. Now they were reavers, and soon they might be even less than that. Unless something changed. That was why Har was here. To strike a final blow against one who had wronged him, wronged them all, and perhaps purge some of the poison that had tainted them. And swiftly. Before it reduced them to no more than beasts, gnawing at one another's vitals. If it wasn't too late, already. The observation cupola was far more crowded than Archmagos Rijan would have liked. Though Carradon had only brought a handful of his warriors aboard the Landcrawler, they occupied a great deal of space, none more so than the commander himself, who towered over his subordinates. Rijan had not realized that space marines came in such sizes. The parts of him that were still organic cringed at the thought of being trapped in a confined space with such a creature. He distracted himself from such thoughts by activating the cupola's central hololithic projector and began the demonstration.
As you can see from the provided schemata, the Ulotor class Ordinatus is built around a so-called sonic destructor. I myself prefer the less utilitarian terminology, the directional transduction sonic generator.
It does rather roll off the tongue, does it not?
Yes. I find that there is a certain poetry in its linguistic construction.
Rijan swayed up over the hololithic projector, his bladed limbs flashing across the controls.
Regardless of the terminology, the result is the same. A hyperdestructive wave pulse which resonates with force equal to the mass of the target. I trust I do not have to elaborate further on that point.
We are all well versed in the algebra of annihilation.
Rijan eyed him, sensors whirring in what might have passed for a glare had the Archmagos still possessed organic eyes and a face in which to house them. After a moment, he turned back to the hololith.
The sonic generator is mounted atop a reinforced all-terrain tractor unit. Thus, the weapon can be moved into a variety of firing positions at the discretion of its wielder.
Varn tapped the hololith, rotating the image.
It is powered by a fusion reactor. Not a design I am familiar with.
Your ignorance is unsurprising. Martian dogma limits innovation. Please do not touch the hololith again.
Varn stepped back as Rijan slithered between him and the hololithic projector. The thought of such clumsy creatures poking and prodding about the inside of his precious Ordinatus sent a thrill of disgust through the Archmagos. But the Sons of Horus had insisted on seeing how the weapons operated firsthand.
Enough! We are not here to talk about fusion reactors. Get on with the demonstration.
Of course.
Rijan pulsed a signal through his mental link, and the Landcrawler rumbled into motion.
We have arranged to replicate accurate battlefield conditions to better demonstrate the capabilities of the Ordinatus.
He gestured, and the schematics were replaced by a cartographic projection of the kilometers-wide proving grounds.
Right down to an enemy army to slaughter. How thoughtful of you.
Army? Only in the loosest sense, I assure you. Several thousand armed slaves and human chattel. Four serfs, mostly.
That doesn't look like a serf.
Raijan turned. One of Karadin's guards pointed at a flickering display screen mounted along the top of the cupola. It showed men in ragged fatigues, clutching primitive stubber weapons and heavy detonation collars, moving quickly into what little cover there was.
Those men are Imperialis Auxilia. Or were.
Prisoners. Taken in raids.
On the display screens, more figures became visible. A veritable regiment of the damned, equipped with a varied panoply of weapons, both archaic and modern. There were even several heavy tanks of Imperial pattern.
Tanks as well. Is that wise?
Verisimilitude of conditions is necessary for a full and thorough demonstration. The prisoners are controlled by remote detonated collars and provided encouragement in the form of auto-injected stimulants when required.
And you intend to, what, slaughter them for our benefit?
Gale, be silent.
Of course. That is the purpose of flesh, after all. You sound perturbed. Have I offended you in some fashion?
Raijan stiffened as a warning note sounded through his neural network. With blinding speed, he analyzed the sudden flood of data, checked it and rechecked it before humming in satisfaction. In the void, the opposing fleets had met at last, and the attackers were suffering the worst of it. Slowly but surely, the Mechanicum fleet was winning, though not without cost. The weapons platforms and ground silos were falling silent, their munitions expended at last.
What is it, Archmagos? What do you see with those full eyes of yours? Something important, no doubt.
Raijan flicked a bladed limb in dismissal.
My eyes are no more false than your own. Indeed, they are superior, for with them, I see the future.
Oh? Which one? I do hope for your sake. It's one in which this demonstration is about to get underway. Commander Karadin is looking impatient.
Raijan glanced at the sons of Horus. Karadin's face might have been hidden beneath his helmet, but the heightened thud of his heartbeats, combined with the rest of his biometric data, told the tale. Hastily, Raijan gave the order. A moment later, within the bleak halls of Tisiphone Shaol, a chorus of cyber-bonded warder servitors bent themselves to their task. The black gates of the prison forge opened with a grinding roar, deep and wide enough to be heard by those aboard the land crawler. The Ordinatus emerged slowly into the false light, tracks crunching thunderously across the lunar soil.
Behold! Mithrax, Nepothax, and Ashurax, Ordinatus Ulator, the weapons with which your War Master will sweep away the old and usher in the new.
The false war began. On the display screens, the Ordinatus rumbled forward, spreading out, forming an echelon. The land crawler followed in their wake, accompanied by the Mastodon assault carriers. Between the observers and the Ordinatus, half-seen groups of battle automatons stalked, their weapon systems cycling constantly as they tracked the wave of enslaved soldiers advancing towards the Ordinatus. The hapless mortals scrambled across the broken ground, racing to meet certain death.
They seem brave enough.
A coded signal sent to each of them. Compliance or death.
Raijan turned, sectioned form, swiveling.
Even the most cowed organic retains some degree of survival instinct. It is simply a matter of triggering it.
Well, you've done that at least. Look at them. Like a swarm of insects, seeking to sting some great beast.
Even as he spoke, the vast baroque cannons of the Ordinatus Ulator began to crackle with steadily building energies. Heavy stubber fire and the occasional missile pattered from the war machine's power fields like rain. A moment later, the sonic destructors spoke. a blinding flash. Even as the sensors in Haar's helm attempted to compensate for the sudden flare, the cupola was filled with the sounds of cogitator panels and display screens overloading. Sparks cascaded down over everyone in the cupola, and one of the Lex mechanics yelped in pain as his robes caught fire. Haar ignored the hapless adept's attempts to douse himself and concentrated on the devastation being enacted across the proving grounds.
Thrown above.
With a groaning roar, like that of a storm-tortured sea, a wave of destruction rippled across the mock battlefield. The broken bodies of men and the crumpled wrecks of machines were hurled away from the Ordinatus like leaves caught in a hurricane wind. The ground shook as the unleashed sonic energies tore great gouges in the earth, marking the path of the blast wave. The cupola shuddered around them as the reverberations passed over the land. The startled voices of the Mastodon crews momentarily crowded the Vox as they fought to keep their assault vehicles from jackknifing.
A successful first test, I trust you will agree. Next, we will gauge the Ordinatus Ulator's effectiveness against an entrenched position. Given the War Master's stated goals, we cannot help but feel that you will wish to pay close attention to this part of the demonstration.
The Archmagos directed their attentions to a shattered cityscape some 9 kilometers distant. The Ordinatus engines rumbled towards it, electricity crawling across their hulls.
Andred, the Cicatrice Tyrannus reports that the Terran fleet is being broken up, but they're still closing on the inner system and the debris field production facilities, not to mention the weapons and armor we came for.
The bounty ships?
Among the Mechanicum's gifts to the War Master were no fewer than 10 ships, loaded with weapons and armor, something Haar's battered forces could desperately use. They had expended most of what they had left in the taking of the Cicatrice Tyrannus. Half of the warriors who'd accompanied him to the surface were down to their last few shells.
Safe for the moment, but you've experienced void war before. The only certainty is that nothing is certain. We may have to abandon them.
And leave them for Horus? No, better to burn them ourselves if it comes to it. Keep me apprised.
Rijan blurted a burst of binaric, and the land crawler lurched into motion, following the trio of war machines at a safe distance. The hololithic projector flickered, showing the disposition of the forces in the ruined city.
Dargin infantry, long-range artillery, and armored support. At any other time, a substantial fighting force.
The Ordinatus's power fields sparked and flared as the defenders strove to halt the approaching machines. The air throbbed with the thunder of guns.
They're dead, and they don't even know it yet.
They know.
Another flare, another wave of Ordiant destruction washing across a line of field bunkers and artillery positions. Another 1,000 lives, snuffed in an orgy of annihilation. He watched the serfs and prisoners die in their hundreds and felt nothing. Neither sadness nor satisfaction. All such weaknesses had been burned from him on Terra when he'd been forced to hack himself a path to freedom. He'd baptized his oath in the blood of loyal men and never looked back. Nothing mattered but the mission, even if the parameters of that mission were unclear.
This is monstrous. A waste.
I concur. I have identified the cogitator controls for the suicide collars. I might be able to deactivate them. They would at least have a fighting chance.
No, they are not important. The Ordinatus are.
But
that's an order.
Careful, Erend. Lest he add your carcass to those we handed over like so much meat.
He stared at Haar, his fingers tapping against the pommel of his gladius. His words brushed the sharp edge of dissension, and Haar met his steady gaze.
Then, we are not important either, are we? Just a means to an end.
You are soldiers. I am your commander. Now be silent before you give us away.
We stopped being soldiers the moment our gene fathers turned their backs on us. We are nothing, save that which we make of ourselves. And I have higher ambitions than being another bullet you fire at the War Master.
I am in command, Death Guard. If I say you are a bullet,
That is what you are. That is what you must be to accomplish what must be done. Or I will discard you.
What must be done? And who are you to judge that?
Ha's power claw twitched, energy crawling across its knuckles and fingers.
Is something wrong, Commander Karelin?
Nothing. Continue.
He tried to ignore Gale's contempt and concentrate on the mock war. An armored spearhead this time, attempting a breakout. It fared no better than the infantry. Gale wasn't interested in the battle outside. He pressed his assault, even as the feedback from the sonic blast faded.
We should take the Ordinatus now. Give the order and it will be done. We can free the slaves as well. Throne knows we could use the serfs.
That is not our objective.
Then what is? What are we waiting for? You heard, Erod. The Loyalists will be here soon. We will be trapped between two enemies with nothing to show for it.
We are waiting until I decide to give the order. Or do you think you should be the one to do it?
Gale hesitated. His hand twitched to the hilt of his blade. Though Ha could not see his eyes, he could decipher the Death Guard's body language easily enough. Unlike Vaan, Gale and the others did not follow Ha out of loyalty or some misguided sense of brotherhood. They followed him out of fear. The same fear that gnawed at the roots of his soul was in them as well. The fear that came with losing all that you knew and finding nothing to replace it. And fear soon turned to hate. They hated him, and he had used that hate to unite them, to forge them into a weapon he might thrust into the War Master's hearts. But hate had its price. And that price was this moment. Gale was choleric even for one of Mortarion's sons. He had been testing Ha for weaknesses since the first moment they'd met, urged on, if quietly, by his fellows. Soon, he would act, and the others with him. All that Ha had built would collapse in on itself if he let it.
Has the time come at last, brother? Do you wish some of what I gave Hearth? Perhaps I shall not stop at a hand with you.
He was provoking them, baiting them with obstinacy. But he was so close now. With the ship, with the Ordinatus, he might yet strike a mortal blow. What was brotherhood next to that? Ash. And less than ash. Before Gale could draw his blade, Vaan placed a restraining hand on his arm. Ha felt an unexpected flicker of something that might have been relief.
Now is not the time. If not now, when? We stand on the razor's edge. He is a mad dog looking for a place to die. He won't be satisfied until either we all join him in his madness or in death. If you have a better option, I encourage you to keep it to yourself until I tell you otherwise. He is mad, but only a madman could have brought us to this point. Even the most useful war hound must be put down when it goes mad.
Maybe so, but you are not the one to do it. Now, either draw your blade or be silent.
He turned his back on Gale to find Noon watching him. He felt the priest's eyes burning into him and felt a flash of anger.
Why do you stare at me?
Curiosity, Commander. You have not spoken to me since your arrival. I was wondering why.
And why would I?
Noon smiled. Ha's anger grew. It was that sort of expression.
Are we not both emissaries of the War Master, Commander? Are we not both here for the same reason?
I do not know. Why are you here?
I was sent to mark the path for you. We have spoken often of it, though never face to face. Do you not remember?
Ha froze. He felt Vaan and the others grow still. Their wandering attentions suddenly snapped into deadly focus. If he noticed, Noon gave no sign. His eyes never left Ha. The Davanite priest leaned close. He seemed to have little or no fear of the transhuman warriors surrounding him.
Your voice is different.
Ha's hand fell to the pistol on his hip. Noon followed the gesture, his expression oddly serene.
Yes, very different.
almost as if I am not speaking to the same man at all. Is it you in that armor, Caradon? Or something worse?
Do you truly wish to know, priest?
Noon shrugged and looked away.
Perhaps not. So long as this endeavor is successful, what does it matter? They've destroyed the last tank. We must be drawing near to the end.
Har's fist twitched as he considered the back of the priest's head.
Yes, we must be.
Raijan emitted a soft trill of satisfaction as a wedge of specially designed battle servitors were rendered non-functional by a blast from Mithrax. It was all going perfectly. The Ordinatus Ullator were performing to expectation. A surreptitious glance at his guests showed that they were riveted to the display screens. They seemed properly awed by the destructive capacity of the Mechanicum, as they should be. Nonetheless, he felt a hint of unease. Strange auguries drifted down through his strategium nodes as the defense network reported the shattering of the enemy fleet. Power surges in the dark. Reinforcements, perhaps. Too late to do the raiding force any good, but it was a concern. Something was coming, and Zana must meet it. They could not allow anything to endanger their burgeoning alliance with the War Master.
I can hear the cogs turning in what passes for your skull, Archmagus. Are you pleased, then? Your little demonstration is proving quite impressive.
This demonstration is a substantial investment of our resources.
Yeah, but you are pleased. Your weapons have shown their mettle, so to speak.
One would think you would be pleased as well. It is your master they are meant for.
A man may have many masters, Archmagus.
A curious turn of phrase, Shaman.
Raijan studied the little man, trying once again unsuccessfully to pierce whatever distortion effect surrounded Noon. His sensors whirred and spun, cycling through the light spectrum, seeking the frequency that would reveal the priest's secrets. On the display screens, the killing went on.
What are you looking for, Archmagus? Perhaps I can help.
Be silent, Shaman.
Annoyed, Raijan turned to Caradon.
As you can see, the destructive potential of this particular Ordinatus is almost incalculable by lesser standards. One can break entire armies, three entire worlds.
With proper support.
Yes, obviously. Though, as you've seen, the protective power fields can repel almost any attack.
A fine weapon. Weapons, I should say. The War Master will be pleased. Won't he, Caradon?
Caradon looked at Noon. Raijan was puzzled. He had long ago lost the ability to properly parse the primitive vocalizations of organics. It lacked the efficient subtleties of a binaric tongue. Before he could interject, a sudden alarm blared. Lex Mechanics burst into a startled babble as the sky above was suddenly filled with fire. Raijan's skull ached with the screams of the control choirs as they detected, too late, a new hostile contact. The defense stations died one by one, ripped out of existence by a fusillade of vortex torpedoes. Panic built in him as orbital weapons platforms cycled their spent torpedo batteries uselessly, even as they tracked the gliding shape of the newcomer. The squalls of protest from the platform's machine spirits rang through his head.
No, this is not possible.
Where had it come from? How had it gotten so close without being detected? Questions ran through his mind, tumbling one after the other. Barn shoved a Lex Mechanic aside and bent over the cogitator panel. He cursed and looked at Caradon.
Those were the cargo transports. The enemy must have penetrated into the inner system.
Impossible. Our calculations
were wrong.
Silence. You know nothing. You are nothing.
I've identified the attacker. It's a bloody First Legion battleship, the Dark Sovereign. The Dark Angels are here, and they just blew our prizes out of the sky.
Har did not hesitate. The moment the words left Varn's mouth, the Rivenhound acted. He snatched his ancient Architect pistol from its holster on his hip, pivoted, and fired. One of the combat servitors that acted as Raijan's bodyguard tumbled back, reinforced skull reduced to so much smoking slag.
Take them!
Varn and the others moved quickly. Both pistols thundered in the close confines of the cupola as Lex Mechanics and Magos fell at their stations. Raijan turned towards Noon with a startled hiss, as if seeking some explanation. Ha swung his pistol around, intending to put down both Archmagos and Beast. But Noon beat him to it. The Davenite's features melted like wax, becoming something else for a moment, something black and featureless, save for two shimmering red orbs. Noon's arm flashed out, and what appeared to be a gilded barb sank into Raijan's writhing shape. A roaring electroshock surge followed, and the Archmagos screamed in agony as his systems began to short out one by one. He fell away from his attacker as his remaining combat servitors launched themselves at Noon, weapons sparking and whirring. Raijan's thrashing, serpentine form seemed to fill the command deck. Mechadendrites lashed out, smashing cogitator consoles and slamming space marines to the deck. Ha ducked beneath one of the Archmagos' bladed limbs and lunged forward. The fingers of his power fist spread. He punched through the crimson hood and the network of optic sensors within. Ha laughed savagely as his fingers closed on Raijan's central cerebral node bundle. With a single wrenching motion, he tore the Archmagos' frenzied machine brain from the armored shell that passed through his skull and crushed it in a spray of sparks.
I was getting tired of his boasting.
He turned to see the last of the combat servitors slump, sparks spilling from its carcass. Noon stepped gracefully over the twitching body, his form blurring and shifting strangely, like an image distorted by static. Ha was on him before he got more than a step. He caught Noon by the throat with his power fist and drove him back against the support strut.
Move and die.
One twitch, and he would activate the power fist, reducing Noon's head to wet ruin.
Noted. I am not your enemy.
No, that remains to be seen.
Ha activated the General Voxling.
Mark Theta Epsilon Red.
A flood of replies crackled in his ear as his warriors snapped into action. Through the open link, he could hear gunfire as the observers aboard the Ordinatus Ullator moved to take control of the immense weapons. Outside the landcrawler, the Mastodons roared towards the escort of Guardian Automata, their siege melters making short work of the lumbering war machines.
Erud, signal the Cicatrice Tyrannis. We'll take what we can before the Lion's Sons cost us anything more.
What of the cargo containers already planetside?
No. No. Let that be a crime for another day. It is time to go.
That would be a mistake on your part.
What is one more added to the pile? You are obviously no priest.
No. And yes. There was another Umbercor Noon once. A pestiferous creature given to filthy indulgences. Indulgences which proved to be his downfall in the end. The name and the face, such as they are mine now. Assassin.
Ha had heard of such creatures. Shape-shifters in service to the Sigillite. It was said they could mimic anyone down to the smallest detail, so that not even their loved ones would be able to tell the difference.
If you like, I prefer Expediter.
Noted.
He tightened his grip, and Noon grunted in pain.
Davianite or not, I'm still inclined to twist your head off on general principle. Why were you here, little murderer? To kill Raijan?
No! You!
I knew it! You've led us into a trap, Warhound!
Quiet!
You're talking about Coradin, aren't you?
Of course!
Explain, quickly!
I was ordered to kill Coradin to jeopardize Zana's negotiations with the Warmaster, and to convince them that their only chance of survival was to return to the fold.
And the raid above?
As a feint,
to keep them looking at the obvious enemy. I was the hidden blade, the one that could cut their throat at any time. Once I realized you were not Coradin, I was forced to improvise.
We should dispose of him.
Not yet.
Yes, now he is dangerous.
I do not recall asking for your opinion.
He's right. This creature is as much a danger to us as the Mechanicum.
You are not in command, Erud. I am.
Then act like it, Endrid. We are caught in the jaws of a trap. We must act swiftly or it will snap shut on our necks. Surely even the Riven Hound can see that.
I see many things, Erud. More than you know. This is your only warning. My word is law. Break it at your peril.
Varn withdrew. Har turned back to Noon.
You are in contact with the Sigilite?
Yes.
Har saw it then. The road ahead. Perhaps if he'd stayed on Terra rather than fighting his way free, he might have seen it sooner. Or maybe not. Either way, it was the way forward he had been seeking.
Prove it.
He called you the Riven Hound. I know that name.
Har resisted the urge to see what Varn and the others made of the assassin's words. He dragged Noon close.
What do you think you know, little murderer?
I know about your time in the Imperial Gene Works, long before your brothers became Eaters of Worlds. I know that there are no nails in your skull. I know that your savagery comes from a deeper well. Tell me, Hound, do you dream of thunder?
I do not dream. How do you know these things?
I know this because the Sigilite knows. There's a list of names, of the damned but not yet dead. And all of you are on it, I suspect.
Marked for death, no doubt.
All men die. The question is, in whose name will you do so?
Meaning?
There are certain standing orders regarding those on the list. First and foremost, determine loyalty.
On Terra, I was hunted like a dog and forced to spill the blood of loyal men to survive. Out here, I kill traitors. I prefer the latter to the former, but I will not hesitate to kill any man who sets himself between me and my prey.
Name your prey, Endrid Har.
I will have the War Master's skull, or lose my own in the seeking of it.
You do not think small.
It must be done, and it shall be done.
Then perhaps we are on the same side at that. The Lion's Sons will not break through the Xenite defenses in time to be of any use. I had hoped to end this battle before that became an issue. But thanks to you, that is no longer an option.
Would you like an apology?
No, but you can help.
And how would we do that?
Continue with your mission, so that I might salvage mine.
Noon reached towards the hololith, but Har caught his wrist.
Stop!
Very well. Search for Schemata Sigma Ordinatus Mortis.
Har did so, and a set of three-dimensional schematics flickered into view. Har stared at them in puzzlement.
What is this? Herod?
The Death Guard leaned towards the flickering display. His fingers danced across the controls, shifting the images from one to the next, almost too swiftly to be seen.
It's the schematics for a weapons facility beneath the prison fort. A large one. Larger than any I've ever seen.
Imagine what horrors must be in there, given what they let out in the open.
Yes, and they must be claimed for the defense of Terra before they're put to use in its destruction. I had intended to do so through diplomacy. Now I must use force. You can help me to do that.
Varn and the others laughed. Har did not. Instead, he released Noon. The fire burned steadily now. Here was the moment he had been seeking since he'd begun gathering the detritus of shattered legions, a moment in which to undo all that had been done.
And then what?
Noon studied him. The assassin's face was carefully blank. There was no more expression there than there was on Har's helmet.
What do you mean?
If we do this thing, then what?
You can't be serious.
And then, Terra willing, you will go on to another battle, and another.
You will fight for Terra until you can fight no more.
Yes.
Endred, we cannot fight a whole world. This was to be a raid, nothing more. Think about what you're saying.
I am. We can hurt him, Erod. Finally, we can hurt him. Hurt them all. Pay them back in kind for all that we have suffered.
And what sort of victory is that? We attack here, we attack there. Attrition snapping at our heels. And for what? Some vague sense of satisfaction.
It must be done.
Not by us. This was to be the last, Endred. The last throw of the dice. And now the prize has been snatched from us, and by loyalists, no less. We should go now, while we can, with what we can carry.
And if I say no, will you finally see fit to put down the Mad Hound?
In his ear, the vox crackled. The Ordinatus were proving harder to take than they'd estimated.
Endred, what are you saying?
Did you think that I would not see it? These men are your brothers, not mine.
Har smiled sadly as he indicated Gale and the others.
All Death Guard, Erod. All with their own grievances. Sirka, I killed two of your squad for dereliction of duty. I took Hearth's hand when he questioned my orders at the Bessemer Gate. And Gale. Gale has made no secret as to his intentions.
Har could almost see the Tekmarine's mind racing. Varn had prepared for every eventuality, including Har. But even now, he would be wondering if this was the right course. Varn, of all of them, did not want to do this, but would. That was why Har had trusted him. That was why he still trusted him.
If you knew, why did you allow it?
That is a question you should be asking yourselves.
It had been the only way. That was what he told himself. A just and necessary butchery. Only there was no such thing. He killed his own because it was the only way to keep them moving in the right direction. As he would kill them now.
This is what we have been looking for, Erod. A chance to cast our spite into the War Master's face, to hurt him.
You race to death as if it were a lover and expect us to follow in your wake. I do not know who will win this war, but I do know that whoever wins, we lose. Our brothers lose.
Then what would you have of me?
We continue as we have begun. We build our strength in the dark, and we wait for distant fires to burn low.
And where would you do this? The whole galaxy is at war.
There are a thousand worlds out there where the name of Horus is all but unknown. We take one and make it a bastion upon which the universe can break itself. We shelter as many as we can against the fire and maintain our brotherhood. We wait out this madness.
You think it'll be that easy, then?
Better that than wasting our lives in the names of faithless fathers!
Noon frowned, and Varn looked at Har.
Please, Endred! Despite everything, our brothers still look to you for leadership!
Not my brothers! My brothers are dead, as are yours, as are we. We were dead the moment the first drop of blood touched the soil of Istvan III. All that is left now is a litany of crimes. Crimes which cannot, must not go unpunished.
He raised his pistol.
You will obey me, or I will continue without you.
Who do you think you are, Warhound? Mortarion himself. You lead only because we allow it.
Har ignored him. Gale had already condemned himself. It was a matter of when, not if. But Varn could still be saved, and something in Har desperately wanted that. Varn believed in brotherhood, in the lies their fathers had told them, even if those fathers had proven faithless. Whatever else, Varn had faith in that. And Har needed that faith, for he had none of his own left.
I lead because someone must. You know this, Erod. It must be done, and it shall be done. Even if I must walk over a billion corpses, over your corpses, to do it.
A billion? Ha! You are conservative in your estimates, Warhound. How many have we condemned to death that we might have otherwise fought to defend, all in the name of your obsession?
Gale pointed his gladius, still wet with blood and oil, at Har.
I am no milk blood, weeping over trampled innocence. But even I am sickened by you, Warhound. Erod always thought you would come around eventually. But I know better.
Quiet, Rome! Endrid, we are nothing to the Warmaster. We are but driftwood in a sea of blood. And to do what you propose would surely sink us in sight of land.
And I say it will save us! I did not drag you, half dead, from the battlefield to allow you to become nothing more than pirates. I might as well kill you myself, come to that!
You say that as if the blood of our brothers does not stain your hands already, Warhound. You are as much a kinslayer as the Warmaster. No, worse. For at least he had a purpose greater than this.
Har activated his power claw and lunged. The heavy gauntlet swallowed Gale's head and muffled the rest of his outburst. Har twisted the struggling space marine's head off his neck and dropped it to the deck. Even as Gale's decapitated body collapsed, Vaan and the others were in motion. Vaan's power axe swept out in a crackling arc. Har caught the blade of the axe on his power claw and took aim with his pistol. At the last moment, he pulled the shot. The Archaeotech weapon spat fire, and Vaan fell back, a hole burnt through his chest plate rather than his head. Har turned, narrowly avoiding a blow from one of the others. Hearth, his prosthetic hand whining and grinding. His next shot punched a hole through the unlucky warrior's helmet and the head within. No replacement for that. Circa was the last, his thunderhammer crackling with fell energies. Har caught a glancing blow on his shoulder and sank to one knee with a grunt of pain. Circa raised the hammer. Har saw Noon move, and then Circa staggered and slumped to the ground with a clank, as silent in death as he had been in life. Har rose.
You killed him!
And you wouldn't have. We do what we must, as you said.
Har glared at him, but only for a moment. He nodded tersely and turned, only to freeze in place as he caught sight of Vaan raising his bolt pistol.
Erod, it is over.
He heard Noon moving behind him, but could not afford to take his eyes off the wounded tech marine to check on the assassin. Vaan pulled himself into a sitting position, his armor scraping across the deck.
You could have killed me.
Yes. Put down your pistol.
Why didn't you?
Because I still have need of you.
I should kill you now.
But you won't. Because we are brothers. Because you know that I do not sacrifice without necessity.
And how many of us will it take? How many sacrifices unnecessary?
As many as it takes. I will preserve the Imperium behind a bastion of corpses if I must.
He holstered his pistol and let his power claw fall silent.
All that I have done has been done because it had to be. And this does not have to be. Not today. Put it down, Erod.
The pistol wavered and then sank down. Vaan leaned back.
No. Perhaps what you say is true, but I will not thank you for sparing me, nor will I forgive you.
I expect neither. I only expect you to obey. You said you could free the slaves. Do it now, and begin earning back my trust.
He turned away, leaving Vaan to clamber painfully to his feet. Noon sidled towards him.
Is that wise?
No.
Har looked out through the shattered window of the cupola towards the distant prison forge. Would the Ordinatus be enough to shatter those great black gates? He suspected that they would soon find out. Around the land crawler, his forces swept aside the last of the Zanite escorts. In his ear, his warriors still aboard the Cicatrice Tyrannis were requesting orders.
With the Vox net in disarray from the attack, there is little chance of the Mechanicum noticing what is occurring here. Not before it is too late. We will need to be swift, even so.
I don't think that'll be a problem for you.
Har cast a look about him, at the bodies that lay dead by his hand and will. At Vaan, who stared at him with a dead man's eyes, all thoughts of brotherhood gone. And something inside him began to howl in pain. But with surety born of experience, he forced it down into the black places within him. Let it scream there for eternity. There was no room for such weakness in the war to come. What was brotherhood next to a fire which would consume the galaxy? Ash. And less than ash.
It must be done. And it shall be done, whatever the cost.